Father, we thank you for your presence here this afternoon. Lord, I thank you that there is power, the power of your presence in the Word by the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you'll just quicken what's relevant to me and to those who are hearing, and that, Lord, we shall take away the important things. In Jesus' name, amen. I've really enjoyed doing this. It's only a short passage, but there's so much in it, and I've been exceedingly blessed. So I just want to share a few thoughts with you. And the reading is from Proverbs chapter 9. It's just got 18 verses, but packed with a punch, like God's word is. I read Proverbs 9 a couple of weeks ago, and I was thoroughly, thoroughly impressed by how simple yet straightforward it is. There is only one way to life. There's no middle road. Amen. Some amens would be good. Let me know you're with me. Amen. You know, it's really important. You think that you're not doing anything out there, but the congregation draws the word out of whoever is speaking. So, yeah, draw it out of me, the Spirit of God. Let's get the best out of what God wants to say. This chapter also speaks about the crucifixion, as we've been singing today. In very prophetic detail. It was written many years before Christ came. But here we see Solomon writing about the crucifixion and the immense transformation it brings about in the lives of those who believe it and embrace it. It changed my life. How about you? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Amen? Woo! Praise God. I don't apologise for using the Message translation here, because I've read three or four others, and they just do not bring out the cross and the relevance of the cross in all this. So I'm taking it from the Message. I'll start with verse 1. I'll read to verse 1, from verse 1 to verse 7. Well, we'll take it to 6. Lady Wisdom has built her house and furnished her home. It's supported by 7 hewn timbers. The banquet meal is ready to be served. Lamb roasted, wine poured out, table set with silver and flowers. Having dismissed her serving maids, Lady Wisdom goes to town and stands in a prominent place and invites everyone within the sound of her voice, saying, "Are you confused about life? Don't you know what's going on? I've prepared a wonderful spread, fresh baked bread, roast lamb, carefully selected wines. Leave your impoverished confusion and live. Walk up the street to a life with meaning." Does that say it as it is? It leaves me in no doubt. There's only one way, God's way. In verse 1, Lady Wisdom has built and she's furnished a home. The Hebrew word for wisdom here is one of a sacred sense, referring to the understanding and insight given by God. So she's built a spiritual house by the wisdom of God and God's insight. In Hebrew, interestingly, the word wisdom is female. So therefore, that's why this chapter and quite a few others around this point are in the female and referred to and portrayed as such in Proverbs, because wisdom is female. Bish always used to say that the wife was wisdom, didn't he? Amen. I'll accept that. I'll be full of godly wisdom. Maybe it's time for husbands to just take notice a bit more, but I'm not going down that road. Amen. Yes, he does have the final say. I don't have an issue with that. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 refers to Christ as the wisdom of God. If you want to be full of wisdom, accept Jesus Christ into your heart and life and get on the right road, and he'll keep you on that road, and you will grow beyond your wildest dreams. Matthew 5, 6 and 7, if you don't know where to find it, is all about the kingdom of God lifestyle and what God expects us to live, how he expects us to live. Psalm 127 and verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain who build it. It must be a house built on God and on his principles. I've got to look at Matthew 7, because it is very relevant here. Matthew 7, verses 24-27. Again, it's from the Message. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life or homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build your life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed on the rock. But if you use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on a sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. Leave it at that. It's really simple. Unless we first build a relationship with God, we're on shaky ground. And that will not take us through life's storms. Every one of us has or will encounter storms in our lives. How many of us have found marriage, homes, families and livelihoods shipwrecked by life's storms? All of us know, I've experienced it personally, or know of those who have been shipwrecked because they hadn't built a foundation on the rock, Christ Jesus. A personal relationship with God is fundamental to finding security, peace, and stability in your life. Doesn't matter what anybody else says about you or thinks about you. You know what God says and what God thinks. End of story. That's the final authority. It keeps us secure in God's protective love. We've sung about it today. No weapon formed against us can succeed. And God always, always causes us to triumph. Praise God. It says she built back in Proverbs 9. Her house was built upon 7 pillars to keep it secure. These pillars are hewn or chiseled and shaped personally to make us fit together with a very divine purpose. The Bible says we are lively stones and we're raised up to be God's temple. And I think this is beautiful because every one of us is unique. And you're not here, you're not an accident waiting to happen. You're not here by mistake. God knows where you fit and he will chip away at you and to get us all to fit together. Even though we're so completely different, some of us, God will fit us together as a perfect body because he's shaping us into his image. And he will build a spiritual house where God dwells. And God's in the process of doing that at the minute. Spiritual perfection. Number seven, seven pillars, that speaks of spiritual perfection. And it also speaks as the seven virtues of heavenly wisdom. And these are described in James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. These are the seven virtues of heavenly wisdom. And it says, but the wisdom that comes from above is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Aren't they all lovely virtues? Praise God. That's what keeps the house secure. They are the pillars, the seven pillars that will keep it secure. The lively stones can only be chiseled and shaped together when believers physically attend church. Do you agree with me? We've got to be together. We've got to work together as a body because it's in the body that God knocks the rough edges off us. Yeah? Has somebody ever rubbed you up the wrong way? No. Well, don't get up and walk out and say, I'm never going back to that place again. Because you've just got, you're going to go right round the mountain because there's something God wants to deal with. So sit still and let him do what he wants to do. I remember some years ago, a long time ago actually, now I think about it. Time's passing so quickly. But Andrew got, there was a woman in church and he came home and he said, that woman gets under my skin. She's an absolute irritant. And he said to God, he said, why don't you take her out or get rid of her? And God said, no. I'm using her to chisel at you. I'm using her to shape and mould you. So she's staying. Oh, God, that's not what I wanted to hear. Has anybody ever been there? I have. Amen. Verse 2. The banquet meal is ready to be served. And what is it? Lamb. Roasted. Come on, what does it speak of? The lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus bore on the cross and took the death penalty. He bore my sins on the cross and he took the death penalty for me. He rose again victorious, and those who receive him as their Savior are clothed in his righteousness. We may consider that we live a good life, an honest life, but it won't get us to heaven. The Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags in terms of heaven. Accepting Jesus as our Saviour is the only way to God. There is no middle ground. The next part says she has mingled her wine. This speaks of the wine mingled with gall offered to Jesus on the cross by the soldiers. It was to ease the pain, but he refused to drink it. Why? He had to feel the full impact of sin's punishment. There were no shortcuts. There was no compromise for him He had to take it full on. It had to be a complete work. And so by doing that, he took captivity captive and he led the demonic forces out in chains. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We know quite apparent that the church today is under pressure to compromise and become acceptable to man-made practices and laws. But no, God's word is the ultimate authority, and to be effective in the world, we must obey it fully. There's no watering it down. There's no compromising. It has to be as God said, it is written. Some churches are attracting large congregations by being performance-driven, the members being purely spectators and not participators. But that's not right either. It's body ministry, flowing with the Spirit of God. We're lively stones. Why are we lively stones? Because we're full of the Spirit of God. And we need to come to the house of God, ready to build the house by the voice of the Spirit of God. We need each of us, independently and collectively, we need to listen and come to church charged, having listened to the voice of the Spirit and saying, God, I'm here, I'm available. What do you want to do with me today? How can I contribute to the body here? It's not all from the platform. It's body ministry and the platform. Together, the body ministers to the Lord. And as I've said, we're all individuals and we'll all see things in a different way, and the Spirit will speak to us. We'll catch the Spirit in a different way. But it's the same Spirit, but it will say God's word. It will say the same thing. And God is saying, don't come to be a spectator. Don't come and sit and take your seat and be silent. Get involved. Bring something to the house of God and its body ministry. Flowing to the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of God, and listening to that still small voice is essential in what God has ordained for his church. We went to one church, I don't know, down in the Midlands somewhere, and they were singing that loud that God's sweet, small spirit could never, ever, ever have been heard because the music was that loud and it was as black as the Ace of Spades, the church. And, well, your ears were ringing, but not with the Spirit of God, with the vibes. And I cannot agree to that whatsoever. It's in the still small voice. We don't need to be distracted. We need to be able to focus on the Spirit of God. And it says, and the table is set with silver and flowers. How beautiful. Silver speaks of redemption. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. You know, it's also interesting when you come in, anything silver, in the olden days in the stately homes, they always used silver cutlery and silver serving dishes and containers. Why? Because the minute that bacteria comes into contact with silver, it kills it. So it was a purifying agent to keep them from getting bugs. Perhaps I ought to tell Ken. Flowers, what do flowers speak of? Absolute beauty. You know, when you stand and look at flowers and the detail, in fact, all of God's creation, but flowers we're thinking here. The detail, when Andrew's taking photographs of them, and you see even clover, how it's all made up. I stand in awe of him. Truly, truly, flowers speak of beauty. There's great beauty in flowers. When I was thinking about putting together this word for today, that song came into my heart. You are beautiful beyond description. Too marvellous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension. like nothing ever seen or heard? Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. I stand in awe of you. Jesus Christ, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. Truly I do. What a wonderful Saviour. It was a beautiful thing he did for us in going to the cross. Verses 3-6. Having dismissed her serving maids, the work was finished. She didn't need her helpers anymore. The feast was prepared. All was ready. It was time to invite everyone to the greatest feast ever. Amen. And we need to be inviting everyone to the greatest feast ever found in Christ Jesus. Lady Wisdom goes to town and stands in a prominent place. And she invites everyone within the sound of her voice to come to the greatest feast ever. What a witness. What a witness. Well, I would say today, it's not always practical to stand on the street corner. But each day, I say to God, God, will you bring across my path those who you have ordained to hear the word of God today? Those who are ready for a seed to be dropped into their hearts. And I've met 3 this week while I've taken Charlie out for a walk. He's a great magnet for people. They all gravitate to him and give him a cuddle and say how beautiful and how wonderful he is. And then they start talking to me. And here we go. Hey, presto, we've got our opening. You know, if you want some more openings, get a dog. It really is. In fact, years ago, there was a lady minister in Sheffield, and she said to me, oh, we've got a dog. She says, oh, brilliant. She says, everybody talks to me in the park. And I thought about that when I was reading it. I thought, it is. It's a magnet for people. So, Monday, it was a rainy day, and it was somewhat, the house, Andrew was out, Charlie was fussing, he wanted to go for a walk. So I thought, Charlie, we've got to wait for the rain to stop. Well, eventually, like it does here, it stopped. But everywhere was wet through, so we tripped up to the park, but it was a bit deserted, there weren't many people about. But as I approached the gates, a lady was coming in the opposite direction, a lady in probably about her late 40s. And she came up to me and she says, oh, I love your dog. I said, oh, he's a little beauty. She said, where are you going? Are you going down the hill to the lakes? I said, yeah. She says, can I come with you? I said, of course you can come with me. She says, I'm vulnerable on my own in a park. So I said, well, we'll be good company for one another, won't we? So we plodded down the hill, round the 2 lakes, and back up again. And, you know, she shared with me some of the things in her life and what had happened to her. And I shared the gospel with her, told her how much God loved her, and that she needed to fix her eternity here and now and know Jesus as her own personal saviour. And she listened, and she listened. She never made a decision, but I thank God. I told her where we fellowshipped. I said, you're welcome to come to church in Intake. She lives on King's Road. And she said, I said, it's not far from you. She works nights, so it's not always easy, but she was certainly absorbing what was being said to her. So I thank God for seed sown into that ground. Tuesday, Andrew took Charlie for a walk in the park. And on Wednesday night, he was telling us how he met 2 ladies from Hungary, one of which was looking to move here to Doncaster. And she'd been looking at some flats that are actually near to where we live at home. And they'd gone for a walk in the park. And Andrew got chatting to her. They were attracted to Charlie and they were fussing him, and they got Andrew and the ladies got into conversation, and she said to them that Andrew mentioned church, and they instantly said that they too were Christians. Wasn't that beautiful? It really, really was. And she was saying how she'd been listening online to a church in Doncaster, and she said to Andrew, I can't think of the name. I can't think of the name. So he said, Harvest Fields? She said, that's it. And she picked her phone up and she showed him, and it was open online at Harvest Fields Ministries. And he said, well, I'm the pastor at Harvest Fields. Well, 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 well. If this is not God, woo, God, what are you doing? And so he said, she was as astounded as Andrew was. And they were chatting for a good while. And she said, well, when I move, I know where I'm coming. So, yeah, praise God. He's amazing, isn't he? You can't fathom the way that he works. But it's exciting when you see his hand. And he's beginning, he's building his church, and he's bringing the right ones in. And it doesn't he say, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Well, on Thursday, Andrew said, shall we go to the photography club? They've got a barbecue going on. So we said, yeah, let's do it. I said, can we take Charlie? He says, yeah, let's take him. So off he went to the barbecue, and he loved it. And as we went into the club, there were a few sat at tables, and there was a table this side, and a lady sat there. And so while Andrew was milling around and talking as he does, and he went to order the food, Charlie and I found a place to sit next to this lady. So I looked at her, and we introduced ourselves, and we were about a similar age. And within 60 seconds, we were talking about Jesus. And I realised that she was born again as I was born again. So I'll tell you what, we never stopped talking all night. And we were really excited at what God was doing in her life, and God was doing in my life and our lives, and in the church, and in the world at large. And we had a wonderful time. And I learned a lot from her. Amazing, isn't it? When you meet people, it's a rich experience, because quite often they will add to you. You can learn from somebody. You can learn from everybody that you meet. So don't shut your ears. Listen to what they've got to say. And she was saying how her husband was Iranian, and telling me some of the stuff in Iran and how it used to be, and completely different to how it is now. But it was interesting to listen to her. And she's been over here since the 19... she was born over here. Her husband has been over here since the 1970s. So he's very westernised, and he's very much into the UK sort of culture. And he's always encouraged her with her faith, but he hasn't yet, to her knowledge, given us his life to Jesus. But when we, after chatting, you know, him and her and Andrew and I, we went home amazed at how we'd been so blessed. I would not have expected to be so blessed at the photography club, the camera club. You know, I was as blessed as if I'd been here. God at work. Don't box him in. Go with him. Flow with him. Open your mouth and he'll fill it. And it's an exciting life. You know, I'm a bit intimidated by standing on the street corner. But for Mick and Sheila, that's a great way that they witness. And I thank God for that. Each to their own, the way that God has taken us. But I am not ashamed to stand on a street corner. I'll stand with anybody. But it's not exactly my comfort zone. I like the one-to-one. But we're all different. We're all individuals, and we're being chipped away at to fit together. I love this bit, verses 7 and 8. from the Message. And I'll read down, actually, from 7 to 12. If you reason with an arrogant cynic, you'll get slapped in the face. Have you ever been there? We were earlier this year. It's like that. Bang! Don't want to know. Very, very cynical. Well, I don't believe in God, so. Well, you're losing out. You're missing the best thing God ever offered. Don't confront bad behaviour and get a kick in the shins. There's a lot of kids on this street, on the streets that are, you know, not frightened to give you a kick on the shins if you address the bad behaviour. So don't waste your time on the scoffer. All you'll get for your pains is abuse. But if you correct those who care about life, that's different. They'll love you for it. Save your breath for the wise, and they'll be wiser for it. Tell good people what you know, and they'll profit from it. Skilled living gets its start in the fear of God. Insight into life from knowing a holy God. It's through me, Lady Wisdom, that your life deepens. Wow. And the years of your life ripen. It says in another translation, give you long life. Well, I'm in for that. Amen. It'll give you long life. It's through me, Lady Wisdom, that your life deepens and the years of your life ripen. Live wisely, and wisdom will permeate your life. Mock life, and life will mock you. And verse 13. This is really sad. It's the contrast to the wise woman, the foolish, I've put it, the ultimate fool. But as we've heard today, the woman at the well, she had strange lifestyle, but Jesus made a way, and he made a point of speaking to her and changing her life forever. And that's what God wants to do, whether they're prostitutes or whether they're wise. God wants to change our lives altogether. I think I've gone off. Can you hear me? No. It starts on verse 13, and ultimately 13 speaks of rebellion. There's nothing by accident in the Word of God. Every verse, wherever you find it, is there for a reason. And this verse 13 says, this is all about rebellion. Don't go there. You are the ultimate fool if you rebel against God. I'm going to read from verse 13 to 18. Then there's this other woman, Madam Whore. She's brazen, she's empty-headed, and she's frivolous. She sits on the porch, the front porch of her house on Main Street, and as people walk by, minding their own business, calls out, "Are you confused about life and don't know what's going on? Well, steal off with me and I'll show you a good time. No one will ever know. I'll give you the time of your life." But what they don't know is about all the skeletons in her cupboard and that all her guests are on the road to hell. The fool, the foolish woman, empty-headed, frivolous and brazen. And I thought about that and I thought, yeah, always running on emotions, chasing the feel-good factor, absolutely no thought about tomorrow, just living for today, thinking payday will never come, What absolute stupidity. That's why she's a fool. She shuts God out and she buries her head in the sand like the ostrich. The most stupid of all God's creatures, it says in the Word of God, is the ostrich. She's on the road to hell because she doesn't believe it. She thinks if she doesn't believe it, it doesn't exist. Have you ever met them? How stupid can you be? How empty-headed can you be? The ostrich is truly lacking in wisdom. She lays her eggs in the sand and she runs off and leaves them. She's no maternal instinct towards her offspring, and she deals cruelly with the young, with her young, as if they were not hers. Job 39 tells us a lot about the ostrich and the stupidity of her. She's got the biggest wingspan of any creature, yet she can't fly. You know, you think, God, why did you do that? But she can run at 40 miles an hour. She can beat a car any day. Wow, wow, wow. Well, from 0 to 60 maybe. But she's faster than a horse. Much faster than a horse. She has no sense. She just runs from responsibility. And I've got to say that our abortion laws are promoting the same behaviour today. No care for the young. Just kill it. The ostrich is an emblem for a desert land. I never knew that. It's an emblem for a desert land where few men live. How foolish is our land, our nation, little realising how abortion laws and gay rights are devastating our land. They're very empty-headed and brazen about it, wanting to push everyone into what they believe. The fool, the ultimate fool. It's a far cry from when our nation was built on the solid foundation Word of God. The British Empire then was strong, powerful, prosperous, innovative, a world leader in technology. The empire was so extensive it said the sun would never set on it. Britannia did rule the waves, proving that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalm 33 and verse 12. But I also firmly believe that God is ready to turn the tide. It is his intention to turn the tide. Ephesians 3 and 10 makes it very clear the church's responsibility in turning this tide. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That's where the battle is, up there, the principalities and powers. And God has destined that through the church, the Spirit of God flowing through the church will silence the principalities and powers and bring them down. Amen? It's our responsibility, not to come to church to spectate, but to come to church filled with the Spirit of God, listening to the Spirit of God, flowing with the Spirit of God, speaking out what the Spirit's saying, and praying and doing warfare, as was happening on Thursday, when we were in prayer meeting Thursday lunchtime. It was a powerful time, and the Spirit of God was flowing. We need always to have those times. I believe the time is ripe in the nation for words of power and authority. God's looking for a people who are willing to be counted in his glorious victory. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. Amen? It's time to stand firm. It's time to stand together. It's time to intercede and share the good news as God turns the tide. Amen? Amen? And we are to be a part of the solution for the generation to come. Amen? I just pray that this word will have spoken to you. And I don't know about you, but if God has spoken to you today and you want to acknowledge that, God, I'm with it, I'm solidly behind what you're doing and I am going to stand, then it would be good to stand and to say, God, I'm here, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord in whatever capacity you call me to do it.